Chrome Yellow by Aldous Huxley, read for LibriVox.org by Martin Clifton. Chapter 6. Mr. Barbecue Smith arrived in time for tea on Saturday afternoon. He was a short and corpulent man with a very large head and no neck. In his earlier middle age he had been distressed by this absence of neck, but was comforted by reading in Balzac's Louis Lambert that all the world's great men have been marked by the same peculiarity, and for a simple and obvious reason. Greatness is nothing more nor less than the harmonious functioning of the faculties of the head and heart. The shorter the neck, the more closely these two organs approach one another. Argyll, it was convincing. Mr. Barbecue Smith belonged to the old school of journalists. He sported a leonine head, with a greyish-black mane of oddly unappetizing hair, brushed back from a broad but low forehead. And somehow he always seemed slightly, ever so slightly, soiled. In younger days he had gaily called himself a bohemian. He did so no longer. He was a teacher now, a kind of prophet. Some of his books of comfort and spiritual teaching were in their 120,000. Priscilla received him with every mark of esteem. He had never been to Crome before. She showed him around the house. Mr. Barbecue Smith was full of admiration. "So quaint, so old world," he kept repeating. He had a rich, rather unctuous voice. Priscilla praised his latest book. "Splendid, I thought it was," she said in her large, jolly way. "I'm happy to think you found it a comfort," said Mr. Barbecue Smith. "Oh, tremendously. And the bit about the lotus pool, I thought that so beautiful."
"I knew you would like that. It came to me, you know, from without." He waved his hand to indicate the astral world.
They went out into the garden for tea. Mr. Barbecue Smith was duly introduced. "Mr. Stone is a writer too," said Priscilla as she introduced Dennis.
"Indeed," Mr. Barbecue Smith smiled benignly, and looking up at Dennis with an expression of Olympian condescension. "And what sort of things do you write?"
Dennis was furious, and, to make matters worse, he felt himself blushing hotly. Had Priscilla no sense of proportion? She was putting them in the very same category, Barbecue Smith and himself. They were both writers, they both used pen and ink. To Mr. Barbecue Smith's question he answered, "Oh, nothing much, nothing," and looked away. "Mr. Stone is one of our younger poets." It was Anne's voice. He scowled at her, and she smiled back exasperatingly.
"Excellent, excellent," said Mr. Barbecue Smith, and he squeezed Dennis' arm encouragingly. "The bard's is a noble calling."
As soon as tea was over, Mr. Barbecue Smith excused himself. He had to do some writing before dinner. Priscilla quite understood. The prophet retired to his chamber. Mr. Barbecue Smith came down to the drawing-room at 7:50. He was in a good humour, and, as he descended the stairs, he smiled to himself and rubbed his large white hands together. In the drawing-room, someone was playing softly and ramblingly on the piano. He wondered who it could be. One of the young ladies, perhaps. But no, it was only Dennis, who got up hurriedly and with some embarrassment as he came into the room.
"Do go on, do go on," said Mr. Barbecue Smith. "I'm very fond of music."
"Then I couldn't possibly go on," Dennis replied. "I only make noises." There was a silence. Mr. Barbecue Smith stood with his back to the hearth, warming himself at the memory of last winter's fires. He could not control his interior satisfaction, but still went on smiling to himself. At last he turned to Dennis.
"You write," he asked, "don't you?"
"Well, yes, a little, you know."
"How many words do you find you can write in an hour?"
"I don't think I've ever counted."
"Oh, you ought to, you ought to. It's most important."
Dennis exercised his memory. "When I'm in good form," he said, "I fancy I do a 1,200-word review in about 4 hours. But sometimes it takes much longer." Mr. Barbecue Smith nodded.
"Yes, 300 words an hour at your best." He walked out into the middle of the room, turned round on his heels, and confronted Denis again. "Guess how many words I wrote this evening between 5 and 7:30.
"I can't imagine."
"No, but you must guess. Between 5 and 7:30, that's 2.5 hours.
1,200 words, Denis hazarded.
"No, no, no."
Mr. Barbecue Smith's expanded face shone with gaiety.
"Try again."
1,500.
"No."
"I give it up," said Denis. He found he couldn't summon up much interest in Mr. Barbecue Smith's writing.
"Well, I'll tell you. 3,800.
Denis opened his eyes. "You must get a lot done in a day," he said. Mr. Barbecue Smith suddenly became extremely confidential. He pulled up a stool to the side of Denis' armchair, sat down in it, and began to talk softly and rapidly.
"Listen to me," he said, laying his hand on Denis' sleeve. "You want to make your living by writing? You're young, you're inexperienced. Let me give you a little sound advice."
What was the fellow going to do, Denis wondered? Give him an introduction to the editor of John o' London's Weekly? Or tell him where he could sell a light middle for 7 guineas? Mr. Barbecue Smith patted his arm several times and went on.
"The secret of writing," he said, breathing it into the young man's ear, "the secret of writing is inspiration."
Denis looked at him in astonishment.
"Inspiration," Mr. Barbecue Smith repeated.
"You mean the native woodnote business?"
Mr. Barbecue Smith nodded.
"Oh, then I entirely agree with you," said Denis. "But what if one hasn't got inspiration?"
"That was precisely the question I was waiting for," said Mr. Barbecue Smith. "You ask me what one should do if one hasn't got inspiration. I answer, you have inspiration. Everyone has inspiration. It's simply a question of getting it to function."
The clock struck 8. There was no sign of any of the other guests. Everybody was always late at Crome. Mr. Barbecue Smith went on.
"That's my secret," he said. "I give it you freely."
Denis made a suitably grateful murmur and grimace.
"I'll help you to find your inspiration, because I don't like to see a nice, steady young man like you exhausting his vitality and wasting the best years of his life in a grinding intellectual labour that could be completely obviated by inspiration. I did it myself, so I know what it's like. Up to the time I was 38, I was a writer like you, a writer without inspiration. All I wrote I squeezed out of myself by sheer hard work. Why, in those days I was never able to do more than 650 words an hour, and what's more, I often didn't sell what I wrote," he sighed. "We artists," he said parenthetically, "we intellectuals aren't much appreciated here in England."
Denis wondered if there was any method, consistent of course with politeness, by which he could dissociate himself from Mr. Barbecue Smith's "we." There was none, and besides, it was too late now, for Mr. Barbecue Smith was once more pursuing the tenor of his discourse. "At 38, I was a poor, struggling, tired, overworked, unknown journalist. Now, at 50, he paused modestly and made a little gesture, moving his fat hands outwards, away from one another, and expanding his fingers as though in demonstration. He was exhibiting himself. Denis thought of that advertisement of Nestle's milk. The two cats on the wall under the moon, one black and thin, the other white, sleek and fat. Before inspiration and after.
"Inspiration has made the difference," said Mr. Barbecue Smith solemnly. "It came quite suddenly, like a gentle dew from heaven."
He lifted his hand and let it fall back onto his knee, to indicate the descent of the dew.
"It was one evening. I was writing my first little book about the conduct of life, Humble Heroisms. You may have read it. It has been a comfort, at least I hope and think so, a comfort to many thousands. I was in the middle of the second chapter, and I was stuck. Fatigue, overwork. I had only written 100 words in the last hour, and I could get no further. I sat biting the end of my pen, and looking at the electric light which hung above my table, a little above and in front of me."
He indicated the position of the lamp with elaborate care.
"Have you ever looked at a bright light intently for a long time?" he asked, turning to Denis. Denis didn't think he had.
"You can hypnotise yourself that way," Mr. Barbecue Smith went on.
The gong sounded in a terrific crescendo from the hall. Still no sign of the others. Denis was horribly hungry.
"That's what happened to me," said Mr. Barbecue Smith. "I was hypnotised. I lost consciousness like that."
He snapped his fingers.
"When I came to, I found that it was past midnight, and I had written 4,000 words. 4,000, he repeated, opening his mouth very wide on the ow of 1,000. Inspiration had come to me."
"What a very extraordinary thing," said Denis.
"I was afraid of it at first. It didn't seem to me natural. I didn't feel, somehow, that it was quite right, quite fair, I might almost say, to produce a literary composition unconsciously. Besides, I was afraid I might have written nonsense."
"And had you written nonsense?" Denis asked.
"Certainly not," Mr. Barbecue Smith replied, with a trace of annoyance. "Certainly not. It was admirable. Just a few spelling mistakes and slips, such as there generally are in automatic writing. But the style, the thought, all the essentials were admirable. After that, inspiration came to me regularly. I wrote the whole of Humble Heroisms like that. It was a great success, and so has everything been that I have written since."
He leaned forward and jabbed at Denis with his finger. "That's my secret," he said.
"And that's how you could write too, if you tried, without effort, fluently, well."
"But how?" asked Denis, trying not to show how deeply he had been insulted by that final "well."
"By cultivating your inspiration, by getting into touch with your subconscious. Have you ever read my little book, Pipelines to the Infinite?"
Denis had to confess that that was precisely one of the few, perhaps the only one, of Mr. Barbecue Smith's works he had not read.
"Never mind, never mind," said Mr. Barbecue Smith. "It's just a little book about the connection of the subconscious with the infinite. Get into touch with the subconscious, and you're in touch with the universe. Inspiration, in fact. You follow me?"
"Perfectly, perfectly," said Denis. "But don't you find that the universe sometimes sends you very irrelevant messages?"
"I don't allow it to," Mr. Barbecue Smith replied. "I canalise it, I bring it down through pipes to work the turbines of my conscious mind."
"Like Niagara?" Denis suggested. Some of Mr. Barbecue Smith's remarks sounded strangely like quotations.
"Quotations from his own works, no doubt." "Precisely, like Niagara. And this is how I do it."
He leaned forward and, with a raised forefinger, marked his points as he made them, beating time, as it were, to his discourse.
"Before I go off into my trance, I concentrate on the subject I wish to be inspired about. Let us say I am writing about the Humble Heroisms. For 10 minutes before I go into the trance, I think of nothing but orphans supporting their little brothers and sisters, of dull work well and patiently done, and I focus my mind on such great philosophical truths as the purification and uplifting of the soul by suffering, and the alchemical transformation of leaden evil into golden good."
Denis again hung up his little festoon of quotation marks.
"Then I pop off. 2 or 3 hours later I wake up again and find that inspiration has done its work. Thousands of words, comforting, uplifting words, lie before me. I type them out neatly on my machine, and they are ready for the printer."
"It all sounds wonderfully simple," said Denis.
"It is. All great and splendid and divine things of life are wonderfully simple."
Quotation marks again.
"When I have to do my aphorisms," Mr. Barbecue Smith continued, "I prelude my trance by turning over the pages of any dictionary of quotations or Shakespeare calendar that comes to hand. That sets the key, so to speak. That ensures that the universe shall come flowing in, not in a continuous rush, but in aphorismic drops. Do you see the idea?"
Denis nodded. Mr. Barbecue Smith put his hand in his pocket and pulled out a notebook.
"I did a few in the train today," he said, turning over the pages. "Just dropped off into a trance in the corner of my carriage. I find the train very conducive to good work. Here they are."
He cleared his throat and read,
"The mountain road may be steep, but the air is pure up there, and it is from the summit that one gets the view. The things that really matter happen in the heart."
It was curious, Denis reflected,
the way the infinite sometimes repeated itself. Seeing is believing, yes, but believing is also seeing. If I believe in God, I see God, even in the things that seem to be evil. Mr. Barbecue Smith looked up from his notebook. That last one, he said, is particularly subtle and beautiful, don't you think? Without inspiration, I could never have hit on that. He reread the apothegm with a slower and more solemn utterance. Straight from the infinite, he commented reflectively, then addressed himself to the next aphorism. The flame of a candle gives light, but it also burns. Puzzled wrinkles appeared on Mr. Barbecue Smith's forehead.
I don't exactly know what that means, he said. It's very gnomic. One could apply it, of course, to the higher education, illuminating but provoking the lower classes to discontent and revolution. Yes, I suppose that's what it is, but it's gnomic, it's gnomic.
He rubbed his chin thoughtfully. The gong sounded again, clamorously, it seemed imploringly. Dinner was growing cold. It roused Mr. Barbecue Smith from meditation. He turned to Dennis.
You understand me now when I advise you to cultivate your inspiration. Let your subconscious work for you. Turn on the Niagara of the infinite.
There was a sound of feet on the stairs. Mr. Barbecue Smith got up, laid his hand for an instant on Dennis's shoulder and said,
No more now, another time. And remember, I rely absolutely on your discretion in this matter. There are intimate, sacred things that one doesn't wish to be generally known.
Of course, said Dennis, I quite understand. End of chapter.